Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft podcast presented by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. This is the only podcast I'm aware of that is 3 podcasts for the price of one. And that price, of course, being nothing, just your time. Please subscribe if you don't already. Please tell people about it if you don't already. Not only do we go over the top games to make it a college football podcast, we go over the top prospects in the top games to make an NFL draft podcast. And we give you our thoughts on the outcome with the spread to make it a college football betting podcast. And by we, I really mean he, Emery Hunt, the czar of the Telestrator and the absolute star when it comes to anything football media. I mean, this guy, yesterday afternoon, he's tweeting about Jackson State's improved defense alignment. I mean, he is sick. Emery, you might be the one guy I know that might like football more than me. It's really impressive, dude.
Listen, man, football is a way of life, man. You talk about having a college broadcast, a high school broadcast on Friday, Catholic, Baton Rouge versus Good Counsel. And then you have the Saturday broadcast, Towson versus Morgan State. Then I have to come back and hop on CBS Sports HQ talking both NFL and college football. And, oh, by the way, Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon, I have 3 football game plan TV shows. You have the football game plan FCS college football kickoff at 11, the football game plan HBCU kickoff at 10, and the small college football kickoff at 9 a.m. all on Next Level Sports. So it was a busy football weekend for me.
That is awesome, man. Make sure you check him out on social media. He's at FBall Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube. You can already get his draft guide for next year, footballgameplan.com/2022 draft guide. Yeah, I was going to say, you got a couple games in, man. It was awesome. How were your games?
It was interesting. The Friday night high school game was unique because Catholic and Baton Rouge, obviously, they didn't have – we found this out after the game. They didn't have power nor internet connection, so they didn't scout Good Counsel, which is a really good football team, and they beat the brakes off Good Counsel. Catholic Baton Rouge has a lineman, Emory Jones, that's committed to LSU. The running back is not committed, but he has a military academy. He's looking at him, but he had over 200 yards rushing, so I'm pretty sure his stock is going to go up. And then Morgan State, you know, they didn't have any quarterback play to help them. They played 3 different quarterbacks in that game. Towson looks good with O-line, D-line. Their offensive line averages 6'5", 320. So they're built like an FBS team, and they did a good job making, you know, light work of Morgan State 31-0.
Oh, got it. Good food at either one of those games?
You know, I was disappointed in Morgan State. Usually I'm all for it, and I didn't eat lunch because I knew I was going to have good halftime meals. But no, not this week. They had sandwiches. And I was like, oh, man, now I got to, you know, grab a bag of chips and just snack on that throughout the third quarter and commercial breaks. So I was disappointed.
My game was very entertaining. There must have been five or six lead changes. Holy Cross and UConn. Holy Cross gets the win. Gigantic win for their program, for their coach, Bob Chesney. Really a gigantic win for the FCS and the Patriot League in particular, not considered one of the better FCS conferences. By the way, the FCS, you see South Dakota State kill Colorado State? I mean, I think FCS won like five games and could have won some other ones for sure.
They won six games, and out of the 37 they played the crossover games this weekend. They won six, and it was another six that came down to the last quarter within one score game. So you're right. It was a big weekend. South Dakota State looked like the Mountain West team in that ball game. And, man, it just looked so much better and so much dynamic than the Rams. I was impressed, man. I'm excited for this year in the FCS.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. UConn had great food. I talked about that in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Great food. All right, let's dive into some of these games. I should mention I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. Let's start with the biggest one, which is Oregon and Ohio State. Always a lot of studs for both these teams, especially Ohio State. I mean, there's about a million guys on their team we could talk about. Oregon, obviously the big one is Kayvon Thibodeau, who I guess Emery came out of the last game with a boot on. They said it's x-rays are negative, but he had a boot on his foot after their game against Fresno State.
Yeah, and that worries you going into this ball game because, as we saw on the back end of that Minnesota game, Ohio State got better and better as the game went on. They started to settle in a little bit more. So if you're Oregon, you're going to need Thibodeau to come in there and play really well and be the dynamic player he has been over the course of his career. If he can't go at 100% against that offensive line, and Oregon's chances are diminished, you know, significantly. So you wonder if it's just a precautionary tale. You hope that's what the case is, and you hope that he's 100%. But, man, that would be a big blow for Oregon defensively, especially with the way their run game was humming and the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, started to settle in.
It's a very, very good point. Let's start with the Oregon prospects. By the way, Ohio State's favored by 14. Thibodeau, I mean, a lot of people think he might be the number one pick in the draft. I'm sure it'll be a quarterback, although Sam Howell did not look great, and I don't know that Rattler did either, so I don't know who would be the number one quarterback right now. But Thibodeau, I saw some highlights from him. I mean, just, he's one of those guys, just rare movement ability for his size.
Especially when you consider how well he is on both ends of defense. I mean, he plays a run equally as well as he can get after the quarterback. His hand usage is where it needs to be. His eyes and hands and feet are always in unison. He's not, you know, taking a cheese, so to speak. So he's just a good all-around prospect. Top five pick in any draft class because of how good technically sound he is and how athletic he is. And you still see upside within his game. And quiet as kept, Malik Willis played exceptionally well in week one, albeit against Campbell, but still.
Oh, interesting. Okay, good to know. All right. What about, I know you like the quarterback for Oregon, Anthony Brown. Think he has a shot?
I think he does, man. And he's going to be the X factor in this game. One thing I do know is that he's going to go toe-to-toe with whoever's on the other side of the field. So, and whether or not it's a slow start for him, he doesn't give up. He doesn't go into a shell. He keeps firing. And what helps him out is that he does have the athleticism to really be a plus one in the run game. But it's his deep ball passing that I was very impressed, intermediate to deep levels of throwing the football. And I think when you look at the secondary of Ohio State, there are going to be some opportunities for them to make some plays downfield in the passing game. And I feel as though if Brown wants to continue to raise his stock, he's going to have to connect on those.
I thought Fresno State had a real chance to beat him, and that was a back and forth close game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When Fresno State, you know, you saw them, you know, take care of business against UConn, but you thought, okay, UConn is that hadn't played in 2 years. So maybe the next step up is going to be tough, but Fresno State is a legitimate good football team. That whole Mountain West Conference is going to be a tough out for everybody that they face. But for Oregon, you wonder, okay, how much of it was first game jitters combined with a good team in Fresno State? And so I'm willing to look at that in a different scope. But I wonder if, you know, what they learned or what happened in that game will carry over against Ohio State, because Ohio State looked shaky as well against Minnesota. So you kind of want to know, okay, what can we take away and what can we say, hey, this is a cause for concern or a reason for optimism going into a monumental matchup? Because you don't want to say both teams overlook their week one opponent, because this is the game, especially for the Pac-12. This is the game that they need. So we'll see.
Love it. What about for Ohio State cornerback Sevon Blanks?
We didn't see much of him. He didn't start, I don't believe, against Minnesota. I think they started a true freshman at cornerback. So you wonder if his health or, you know, what's the issue? Because he was coming into the season, he's one of these top tier. He's the next in line at Ohio State at that position. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's back out there, because he has good overall skill set. I think he has good fluidity. But if there's an issue there and you have a freshman corner out there at on a perimeter, I'm willing to bet they're going to target him. So I'm more interested to watch Sevon Blanks if something is there, if something is wrong with him from an injury perspective, or if he's just been demoted, because this is interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting. Thayer Munford did a really good job at tackle last year for Ohio State, and now they moved him into left guard, which I think is always interesting. They moved around some of their pieces. They moved the right tackle to left tackle, the left tackle to left guard. I'm not really sure what they're doing, but Stroud had plenty of time, so it worked.
And they had, if you noticed, those big runs from Ohio State came where? Off that left side. So outside of the first run, the touchdown run, that one came off the right side. But, you know, I kind of like the cross training that they're doing. Getting guys more reps at different positions kind of helps them out from a pro projection standpoint. But Mumford was stellar at guard, considering that he, you know, is a tackle kicking inside. So, you know, that's going to, you know, kind of tick off O-line Twitter and kind of give credence to, you know, draft Twitter, like, oh, yeah, just move him to guard, just move him to tackle, just move him to center, just move him to fullback. Like, you know, so there is going to be a rock fight between both of those entities on Twitter because of what we saw last week and how Mumford dominated. I just think he's a fantastic prospect, another one of these top 10 picks, in my opinion.
All right, what about Ohio State being favored by 14? What do you like there, Emery?
You know me, man. You know, I love big spreads. However, I just think Oregon – sort of took a look ahead and prepared for Ohio State while playing Fresno State. So I am going to give Oregon State the benefit of the doubt. And I like how they're built up front. I do think they can run the football. They're going to take advantage of those Ohio State linebackers in the intermediate passing game. This will be a close matchup. I'm taking Oregon in the points.
Got it. All right, let's move on to Iowa and Iowa State. Iowa State favored by 3.5, which I think is interesting. They barely beat Northern Iowa, who's a good FCS team. Iowa destroyed Indiana. Like, I guess it's based on numbers from last year or just reputation. I just find it interesting that Iowa State would still be favored in this game, but they are. Let's start, though, with some of the prospects that have your attention. Iowa has a cornerback in Riley Moss.
Riley Moss had 2 pick sixes in that game against Indiana. And if you don't watch the games, you look at the stat line, you see Riley Moss, 2 pick sixes. But this is something that he does. Like, he picks the ball off and is going back the other way. He's a high school sprinter, track and field guy. Like, he has legitimate speed and athleticism, probably their best defender in the secondary. The funny part is watching how shocked the nation was that Riley Moss was – playing cornerback, because he's a white cornerback. So people was like, oh my God, like what's going on? Like, and so you know, that's always playing in the heads of some wide receivers, like, oh, I got this guy all day. And next thing you know, he's locking you up. He's turned the ball over and he's hot tailing it the other way for a touchdown. So he's going to be someone that's going to find himself getting to that day two category, early day two, because when you watch him just play the position, I mean, the springs that he has in terms of jumping passes, doesn't miss opportunities to turn the ball over, and has the speed to really threaten and close on receivers. Moss is a legitimate stud at corner. I'm excited for him. And I know a lot of the shock that came out on Saturday wasn't because, you know, Iowa was beating the brakes off Indiana, because they were shocked at Moss. You could tell who hadn't watched Iowa play football all last season, because you would have known about Moss and what he can do out there on the corner.
Love it. Love it, Emery. What about for Iowa State? Well, I think we've talked about him before, but, you know, you were a running back. I love your running back breakdowns. I know some people think Breece Hall is the best running back in the country.
I can entertain that argument. I love his patience. I love his footwork, his ability to work front side to back side. He has good body lean for a taller back. I want to say he's 6'1", about 215, but he runs with good pad level. He doesn't run 6'1", you know, which is always a challenge for taller backs. Just good patience and sees the game very well and has good ability as a receiver. So if I'm taking a running back in the first round, you have to check off those boxes. Can you create your own shot? Can you catch the football? Do you have the ability to be a game breaker and, you know, ring up that cash register pretty quickly? I think Breece Hall has all of those traits. So, yes, if I need a back in the first round, that's the type of back I'm taking.
Iowa State favored by 3.5. What do you think, Emery?
Take Iowa and the points, man. We just saw them make light work of, you know, the offseason darling Indiana. And Iowa State, like you said, they always struggle and sometimes they lose against Northern Iowa. It's just a bad matchup for them for whatever reason. The Panthers do a great job up front. But you're Iowa State, you're a top 10 team. You're supposed to dominate that matchup against Northern Iowa. Iowa is coming in now with offense. They're coming in with good, play on the defense side of football. They have a good defensive end as well in Van Valkenburg. So Iowa is a really good football team on both sides, and they don't let up. And I think Iowa is going to win this one going away.
Speaking of going away, I'm giving away Maddens. I got a bunch of copies of Madden for this year. So if you guys want it, I can even tell. I talked about it briefly on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. But I've got Xbox, I've got PS4 of Madden 22. Just take advantage of any of the sponsors that you see on rostucker.com and send me an email, ross@rostucker.com, and say, I want the Madden. I want to know who you're looking at, Emery, in the Utah-BYU game.
BYU, we talked about Jaren Hall, the quarterback, and he played well. In his first start, he stayed, you know, out there the full game, got the upset win over Arizona. Great day. But Gunnar Romney is the wide receiver to keep an eye on. He was a big-time target last year alongside Dax Milne, who's now with the Washington football team. But Gunnar Romney is someone that plays his height, 6'5", fantastic dead leg in terms of, you know, when trying to keep his feet in bounds to let his feet die and to just – tap right in bounds, so he knows how to play one above the rim, but understands where he is on a football field. Strong, confident set of hands, someone that can get vertical as well, and is going to be a big time player for them again this season. So he has everything that you look for in the tall, physical. Can he go up and get it? Does he know where his feet are in terms of where he is on the field? Checking a lot of boxes once again for BYU and for Arizona. You look at Devin Lloyd, the linebacker. I love his ability to, you know, sniff, sift, and destroy. You know, he sees what's going on, he gets through the trash, and then boom, he just lands the impact right there on the ball carrier. Sometimes in pass coverage, he can be a little bit hesitant to make a play, but he'll get there and make a tackle. He's a good open field tackler, but you want him to make more plays on the ball. But when he's asked to blitz or attack downhill, he's blowing stuff up all day.
Love it. Absolutely love it. As for the game, Utah is favored by 7 in this game, Emery. Curious to hear your breakdown here. Always a big game. There's already a lot of week 2 big games. I mean, Utah BYU is huge for both those schools. What do you like with Utah laying the 7?
I'm taking BYU in the points. I believe, although Brewer is a really good quarterback, you know, transferred from Baylor and is out there at Utah and did well. Yeah, I like what BYU is doing, man. They can run the football with Tyler Allgeier. Jaren Hall is only going to get better as the season goes on, gets more confident. And comfortable. We talked about Gunnar Romney. Defensively, BYU still can play within the front 7 really well. I think that's going to muddy things up for Brewer back there in the pocket. So I like BYU to win outright.
Okay. All right. Win outright, and they're getting 7 points. So that is one you should absolutely listen to Emory about. All right. What about Emory? Before we get to Rutgers and Syracuse, I just want to make sure everybody knows that with it being week one in the NFL season, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game, which is insane, right? It's like $200 in free bets instantly. Bet $1 on any week one game. And then for opening night, all customers can double their money as long as Tampa Bay doesn't lose by 74 points. I'm guaranteeing right now the Bucs will not lose by 74 points. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. I know we got some new states online recently, and receive up to $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. Just use the promo code Ross on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Official sports betting partner, by the way, of the NFL. Emory, we got Rutgers and Syracuse. Rutgers, you know, it feels like there's certain programs that are always good, and then there's programs that go up and down. And Syracuse kind of going down the last couple of years. Temple's definitely going down. Rutgers feels like Shiano's got them going in the right direction. They destroyed Temple, Emory.
Yeah, and it has to be frustrating to be a Rutgers fan, you know, or alum. You know, you invented football and you suck at it, right? So it has to be frustrating. Like, man, we invented this game and we're not the best at it. We don't even have anything that we're known for. You have the Delaware wing tee. You have, you know, the split line veer from Florida A&M. Like, Rutgers is known for just starting football and being bad at it. That's it, right? So now you look at Shiano, and their good years have come when Shiano was there. They're memorable years. And so to see them go out there and just dominate Temple, who had been on that upswing the last, you know, within a decade when Matt Rhule was there, and now they're slowly starting to descend, and Rutgers is on the ascend, you know, it's good to see, because it's a state school. It has a fertile recruiting base in Jersey and Eastern Pennsylvania. And now we saw them go out there against the Temple and really, you know, pour it on. So when you look at their running back, their linebacker, Tyshawn Fogg, someone that I think is a good, solid backer, you know, form tackling, plays the point of attack really well, isn't afraid to take on blockers, disengages well. He's a run stuffer all day, pressure type guy that can, you know, that can blitz, but also play well at the point of attack, like I said. So for him, it's about what can he do in coverage. And that's something that I'm going to be watching for in this game, because we know Syracuse will use all of that 53 1/3 width of a football field. So he's going to be put in space a lot, and we're going to see how well he does.
What about on the other side for Syracuse?
Taj Harris is a game breaker at wide receiver. And it's good to see Syracuse, you know, get off to a good start. I was worried about that Ohio game, because we saw Syracuse last year lose games like that. But, you know, shout out to them and what they've been able to do. Taj Harris is someone that can really take the top off and speedy and explosive. He's going to have some good matchups in this game against Rutgers. So I want to see how well he does from a sense of timing standpoint. And what I mean by that is, when the team needs a big play in the passing game, will he be the guy to make it? You know, sometimes you see receivers shy away from that spotlight, and they'll have drops, or they'll have, you know, miscommunications, you know, untimely miscommunications. And on the other hand, you see some receivers that really embrace that, like, man, okay, come to me. I need to make a play. And that's what you want to see this week, because I think this is going to be a competitive game. I think it's a pick 'em. I couldn't find a line on this one, but I think it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, I just found it on DraftKings. Rutgers is favored by 2 now. So I don't know if that just came up this morning, but Rutgers on DraftKings is favored by 2. And the total is 51.5. What do you like knowing that? Game is at Syracuse. Rutgers at Syracuse. Rutgers favored by 2.
I'm going to lay the points with Rutgers in, you know, and I think they'll win by 3 to 4 maybe. I just feel as though in this game, I'm taking a chance on who has the better defense. I know we just saw, you know, a lopsided score, but I think overall, schematically and pound for pound, Rutgers has a better defense than what we saw from Syracuse last year. And even last year, Rutgers defense started to play well against bigger teams. And I feel like that's carrying over, albeit one game, into 2021. So I do think Rutgers can get this one.
Love it. Well, looking forward to it. I love knowing what your bets are and then watching the games over the weekend. And hopefully you just keep kicking butt, man, because then we'll get more listeners, more people. People like winning bets. We know that. And I like that we posted the clip last week of you saying UCLA would take UCLA and the points. Not only did they not need the points, they won by double digits, Emery. You were all over that one.
Yeah, it just seemed – some games will scream – man, this is just too obvious, and there's so much backdrop behind it. It just makes sense to take it. Just like last night with the Florida State-Notre Dame game, I'm like, man, listen, Florida State's athletes are going to not let them get blown out. And funny enough, we'll see two quarterbacks in that ball game, and Notre Dame has to prepare for that, and they definitely did, albeit it was a kind of weird how Coach finally got the bright idea to put Mackenzie Milton in the game. But it worked. And it pushed the game into overtime. So we got lucky.
A highly entertaining game. It's kind of crazy that it even went to overtime with how well Jack Cohn had been playing to that point. I got to tell you, man, I really love overtime. I love football. I really, though, I don't like when it comes to the kick down to the kickers. Like, all those guys just killed each other for 4 hours. And then the one team's kicker makes it, the other team's kicker misses it, and then they all get to celebrate and be happy. They're all disappointed. It's like – and I just feel bad for the kicker too. Like, I know it's his job and you got to make it, but what's he, 19 years old?
Right.
There's got to be a better way. I don't think you should be able to kick a field goal in overtime. You got to just go for it or something. I don't know.
I would agree with that. That way you take a lot of the pressure off those. Yeah, because again, one, it came down to, you know, that whole game. And if you're a situation where you're like, oh yeah, yes, the kicker, if he makes that kick, we win. Like, no, if Mackenzie Milton is in the game earlier, then maybe you win. You know, don't put it all on the kicker. Oh, that's the last thing we saw, but don't put it all on him.
It's a good point. Check him out on social at FBall Game Plan, Football Game Plan on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. What do you got this weekend, Emery?
I'll be covering college football from Thursday to Saturday, all throughout Saturday for CBS Sports HQ. So I'll be down in Atlantic City at the Wild Wild West Casino at Caesars. So looking forward to being on location again. The suit's going to be fabulous once again. So just ready to be out there and about amongst the people.
Nice. I have got Western Kentucky at Army, which kicks off at 11:30 on Saturday. I can't remember why it's an 11:30 kick, but it does, and it is. So before you tune in, a lot of you Oregon, Ohio State, check out my game at 11:30, Western Kentucky Army on CBS Sports Network. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and The Business of Sports. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.